And this will be Joel chapter number 2, verse number 23. And this will be study number 32 out of the book of Joel. And the Bible said in verse number 23, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed." Now, we read a little bit more than I usually read, but studying these together, maybe we'll be able to try to cover this group of scriptures. I don't know how far we'll get into that, but we'll try our best to get down that far. And not trying to speed up the process, but these kind of go together. Now, I want to back up just 1 minute, if you'll just forgive me for doing so, back to verse number 22, please. And I want to bring out a little thought here. I mentioned it last week, but I've got to bring it out again so that we'll understand what we are picking up. Each lesson that we've been teaching in the book of Joel, we try to design it where it will stand alone by itself. If you've never heard the message but one time out of that, and it at least is a lesson that you can get that will stand by itself. You don't have to have the others to prop with. In verse number 22, "Be not afraid, ye beast of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength." Now, back in chapter 1, we dealt with this, and I believe I mentioned this last week. My memory don't get, it's not as active as it used to be. Amen. It fools me sometimes. And so in chapter number 1, we dealt with something. We dealt with the religious life, the national life, and the spiritual life of the Israel. You remember that? Now, remember, and I also tell this about every week, Joel is a prophetic book, and if you don't look at it as prophecy, you're going to miss it. You remember we studied the book of Daniel, or at least in still studying the book of Daniel. And in Daniel, if you take the book of Daniel literally and just pick up, all you'll know is what most people know today, the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace and Daniel in the lion's den, and that's basically what most people know about the book of Daniel. But you've got to look at it and find out it's a prophecy. It's a prophetic book. Just like Joel is a prophetic book. And so, we've got to dealing with this. Joel, again, as I said before, does not see the church in the book of Joel. Matter of fact, you don't find the church in the Old Testament at all. You find some references to it that will be. We can find that in reading into the prophecy. But they did not see it. And, they didn't grasp that. And so the Jews and the Old Testament saints did not see where you and I are sitting today in the grace of God. They did not see that. And so, it's a book of prophecy. So, we started off this morning in verse number 23, "Be glad then, ye children of who?" Children of who? Zion. Zion representing Israel. That's the Jerusalem, Israel. And so, we're looking at, he's talking to the Jews. You understand that. You've got to get this in your mind. If you don't, you're going to miss it. So, Joel's speaking to the Jews. That don't mean he's not speaking to you and me. All the Word of God is good for all of us. Amen. From Genesis to Revelation. Just like the New Testament, the Jews don't accept it, but it's still good for them today too, right? That's right. Now, as we look this morning, in verse number 22, he's talked about the tree that bears a fruit, the fig tree, and the vine. That's three things there. We dealt with that. The vine, and we said that represents Israel's religious life. Now, I'm just doing a repeat on this. If you go back in your notes, you'll find what we said in chapter number 1. The fig tree represents Israel's national life. I remember when I was on that, I talked about Matthew 24, that you notice the fig tree, when it puts forth its leaves, that summer's nigh. He's talking about their national life. And he's talking about, Israel became a nation again in 1948. She was dispersed and scattered all over the world until then. Now she's her own nation, and she'll be her nation. She'll not be destroyed again. Amen. We got that from the Word of God. And then we find that the olive tree represents her spiritual life. And so in the book of Joel, he deals with all three of these. Now we also went through chapter number 2 and find out that after repentance in chapter 2, verses 12, down through verse number 17, where they have repented, and it gets to verse number 18 on down, we find out that God is doing a restoration. He's restoring Israel. Because He's already told us that He's going to make their name great, and He's going to keep them from being a reproach among the heathen. People laugh at Israel today. They make fun of the Jew. They're upset with the Jew. God said one of these days they won't do that no more. One of these days Israel will gain nationality, and she will gain it. Amen. You said, where's America? Brother, she'll be a bowing. That's what she'll be doing if she's even existing. Amen. If she hasn't even destroyed herself, or let God have to destroy her. Now, I want to point out some things. I want us to look at verse number 23. And here's where we pick up today. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice. Remember, I've done told you and talked about that in verse 21. Fear not, he said. Be glad and rejoice. Now, that's three things. In verse number 22, be not afraid. We talked about the Jews being afraid. Verse number 23, he says, be glad. And then he says, and rejoice. So he's wanting to get them at their proper position in their life to be happy. The Jews today, their nation's in a turmoil. It really is. Many of the Jews are still fearful. They don't know today whether they're going to be around tomorrow the way they're handled today. I'm talking about they're staying fear. And the nations are constantly bombarding them and speaking to them and criticizing them and threatening them. And so the Jew, he's not in that place where he can rejoice. But God's going to bring him to that place. And he's given a promise here. Remember it. He said, in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Now to be able to understand this, we're going to have to take some more Bible. Let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy, please. Go into the book of Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, chapter number 11. It's the fifth book. It's one of the books that's classified as one of the books of Moses, or the book of the law. So we find that the Israelites now has got something. God says to us in Deuteronomy, chapter 11, and we'll understand this. What's it mean by the former rain and the latter rain? I believe we have to study that to some degree. We may not get into the full depths of it this morning, but I believe we need to understand a little bit what this means. In chapter 11, verse 11, he said, but the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. In other words, it's got hills and valleys, just like you and I have. And he's talking about this in the physical form, but we can also make this as a spiritual application, and we will in a minute. But he said it depends on what? On the rain of heaven. Just like our crops depend on the rain of heaven on this earth, theirs did too, and it's always been that way. Now, he said in verse 12, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. Now, he's talking about from the first to the last year. One thing you've got to remember this morning is the Jewish New Year does not start at the same time our New Year does. You've got to remember that. And I'll mention that in a moment. Verse 13, and it shall come to pass if. Now, I've got that little word if circled in my Bible. I like to look at these words if. You look at it. When God puts an if in there, that means we've got a condition going on. Amen. God said, I'll do my part if. What? You do yours. And so this is a conditional promise. God said that He's fixing to make them a conditional promise. And He's saying to them, if ye shall what? Hearken. That means listen. Hear me. How does He want us to do it? Diligently, see, unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. It's not that what He says to the church, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. How are we to love the Lord? With all our soul, mind, and body. Is that right? That's how we... What did He say first in great commandment? Is to what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, mind, body. Amen. So you see God saying to the church the same thing He's saying to the Israelites here. And we're not exempt. And God wants us to do that. And if we don't, we're going to be in trouble too. We can give you some New Testament things. If you don't obey the Word of God and honor the Word of God and put God first, you're going to get in trouble. Amen. I preach that all the time. You know how I know that, don't you? Because I've, from experience, those times I have not put God first. You said, preacher, you hadn't always put God first. No, and you haven't either. Amen. You say you have. I'm going to eat dinner with you today. We need to discuss something. All right. So we know this morning that we fail God. So He's got an if in here. Verse 14, God said, but if you'll do it, here's what he's going to do. He said, that I will give you what? The rain of your land in His due season. In other words, I'll make it rain when it's supposed to rain. Amen. Now, don't sit there and think this morning that this little drought we've had out in the Midwest and the crops have dried up is just a mere coincidence. I still believe there's a God in heaven that can send the clouds when He wants to send the clouds. Amen. The first rain, now we're talking about the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. Now I want to look at that in a minute. I don't know how far we get in this, and it looks like that we're slowing down, because I see so many things that I want to pursue. He noticed these, and I've got these marked in my Bible. Gather in thy corn, the corn, and the wine, and the oil. Gather in them three things. Now that's specific. He's given us those three things. He said, I'll give you the rain, the first rain and the latter rain, that you'll be able to get corn, wine, and oil. That's three things that God said, I'm going to give you. That actually is what they need. That's what we need. And we're not talking about intoxicating drink either. Verse 15, and I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. God said, I'll give you a land of plenty. Is that what He's saying to them? Right. Now, what have they got to do? It's a simple thing. They've got to hearken diligently. In other words, listen carefully, seriously, be seriously minded to what? To the commandments of God. And they're to love the Lord with not only love Him, but to serve Him. And serve Him with all their heart and with all their soul. Now that's not asking a whole lot, since He's the Creator. He's made us out of the dust of the ground. God's not saying, hey, look, you've got to do certain things that we can't do. I believe we can do those. I don't believe God ever asked a man or a woman to do anything that they cannot do. Specifically, and I'll say this morning, God can, you said, I can't do it. You can by the help and the grace of Almighty God. I'm glad He can give us the help and the grace to do it. Amen. I believe that. You said, I can't live for the Lord. No, you can't in your flesh. But there's a God in heaven that can help you to live for the Lord God. There's been others that's come through and tried it and did it. Amen. You mean to tell me you think you're a lot less than they are? Amen. You made out of the same dust of the ground, same God. You said, well, I'm just not have the ability. I believe God can help you with your ability. Amen. A lot of things I can't do, but by the grace of God, I can do all things. I read that in the Bible one time. Didn't you read that in the Bible one time? Amen. We can do what? All things through who? Christ, which strengtheneth me. Is that right? Yes, sir. Now the Bible said, let's go on. It said, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not what? Deceived. And ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Now we're going to look at some other things here. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you. God said, now if you go in a different direction, here's what's going to happen. And He shut up the heaven that there be what? No rain. And that the land yield not her fruit. And lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore, shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. In other words, we want to keep the Word of God ever before them. That's what is the hope and the help for every one of us this morning. And you shall teach them to who now? Your children. Amen. Speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In other words, your conversation, ladies and gentlemen, should be the Word of God constantly in your home. Amen. We've certainly got way far from that, haven't we?
Amen.
Before we had all the modern conveniences, or I want to say modern inconveniences. That's right. There used to be a time for God. We don't have time for God no more because these modern, so-called modern conveniences have taken our time. Amen. And we've let our children not hear the Word of God. Verse 20, thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates. Hang the Scriptures up, is what he's trying to say. That your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. Now, for if, there's another if, ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and to cleave unto Him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you. Amen. And ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Amen. So we find that God's, and then I'll give you, He said, every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. For the wilderness and the Lebanon from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be, and Euphrates up in Iraq. How about that? God said, I'll give you all that land. They don't possess it. Why don't they possess it? Why don't they have it today? Because they went in the wrong direction. And they fell into captivity and those sort of things. Now, let's go back to the thought at hand. We're talking about the former rain and the latter rain. God said, I'll give you the first rain, the last rain. That's basically what He's saying. And we'll find that He's mentioning it here in the book of Deuteronomy. And but I want to slide over one time before I get into that and look at Jeremiah chapter 3. One verse in Jeremiah chapter 3. And it's mentioned several times, about seven or eight times, the latter rain and the former rain in the Scriptures. I'm not going to get every one of them this morning. Sometimes I do. But in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 3, he said, therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. God said, I give you the former rain, but I haven't given you the latter rain. And it's imperative or important that they get both. Now what is it? The first rain, the last rain, or the former rain and the latter rain? Now the former rain, and I've done some study on this thing, and if you go back and look at it, you'll find out that the former rain to the Israelites starts at their new year, and it actually starts at the end of October. That's when their new year starts, in October, November, beginning at the beginning, last of October and the beginning of November. They're fixing to have them a new year. And then that's when the former rain started. God would send it in. This is the way it's been down through the years in Israel when everything is running right. That's when they get the former rain. That's the first rain. You would automatically probably think that would be the springtime for you and me. And when you think about it in your mind, God send the former rain be first in the spring. And if you'll notice, that's when we usually get rain for us. If you don't get good rain in the springtime, you won't have, and then you get some later, your crops will do. They may get started up good and running good, and you've seen it many times how that your crops begin to grow, and then all of a sudden, God holds back that last rain, and they dry up like we've had in some of the places of America today. You understand that? It might be a type of former rain and latter rain to you and me here in America. But in the land, the Israel, God had it set up, their new year's not started with the same as ours. They don't call the same months. Now we realize we put them in our time to understand it a little bit, but they'll get that former rain. It'll start raining in that portion, and then they'll have a little rain in the middle of December, and actually a little rain off and on. But that former rain starts. The biggest rain starts in the be our fall, be their early. That's the early part of their winter, And that's when they get it, in the fall part, the autumn. And that's when they get theirs, and it rains on up through, up till March, basically, off and on, and that's how they get it. And then all of a sudden, they'll get, they'll put their, you know, some things are planted, they put them in there, and then they'll get that latter rain. And that latter rain will start in April down through, or it starts in the spring, at the end of March and on down through April, and that's how they get theirs. And that's how that they get their crops. There's a lot of crops they put. Now the harvest, and you got to look at this, the harvest for Israel, their big harvest, is a little bit different than yours and mine. Their harvest is grapes, olives, and barley, and wheat, and corn. You follow that from the Bible right here. We get it. And when does the olives and the grapes, they come in the fall, do they not? So you see, they've had that, and they have to have that rain, and they bring it on, and that's the way they get it. So in January, in those lands, is when they do a lot of the reaping of the wheat. They'll put their wheat and their grains many times in the fall time over there. Not all the time, but many times. They put it in there, and they'll get, that's when they harvest is in toward the springtime. Their environment's a little bit different, although if you go over there sometime, we went in October. It basically was about like what we have here. But we do know that there's some difference in the climate. And you've got to take that in consideration when you're looking at these things. But now, what I want to look at is those three things that I pointed out a while ago out of the book of Deuteronomy. But we're going to tie it with the book of Joel here. Looking in verse number 22, again, he's talked about the fruit, the tree bearing the fruit, the fig tree, and the vine. He's looked at them three things, and we talked about that. But over in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, he dealt with what? The corn, and the wine, and the oil. Now those three things. The wine, that comes from what? Grapes. You've got to have that. Now, the oil comes from what? The olive. And where is the corn? What do you get out of the corn? That's the bread. You get that. Also, when you're talking about corn, if you look at it many times, it also includes the barley. It includes not only barley, but also includes wheat. And you look at these things. Now, that's important that Israel have these three things. And we have to have the three things too. Because let me give you the spiritual aspect. God never gives something in the Bible just physically for us to take the swallow. He gives us something for a spiritual application. Now, I'll give you the spiritual application of the book of Joel concerning these things. Number one, what about the wine? The wine comes from grapes, and the grapes have to be crushed before you can get wine. Now, in the Bible, we're not going to get into this big controversial thing today. I don't have time for it. It might be a good thing to do it in one of these studies. But we're not talking about fermented wine. I noticed this morning when he read the book of Proverbs 19, chapter 20, he said, look not on the, you know, it talked about wine is a mocker and strong drink is raised, and whosoever the sea thereby is not wise. So he's talking about the wise, being wise to leave it alone. And so fermented wine is not what we're talking about in these particular places. It's talking about the fruit of the vine or the grape juice. Now, let's look at the spiritual application of it. When we got wine, it comes from the grapes. The grapes have to be crushed. And what is the type of it? When we have communion, what do we use for the cup? Grape juice. Somebody just said what it means. That's what I was really headed for. The blood. So it's not the blood. Some people believe that when you take the grape juice, that actually becomes the blood of Christ, but it does not. It's symbolic of the blood of the Lord Jesus, right? Now, that's right. And His blood has to be shed, and it was. So you see what He's talking to Israel about, you've got to have that, spiritually speaking. Now let's go to the second one. We talk about the oil. The oil comes from the olive, and the olive has to be pressed, crushed as well, does it not? to get the oil from it. And that oil in the Bible is representative of what? If the wine was the blood, what does the oil represent? The Holy Spirit. Amen. The oil represents the Spirit of God. Now, let's look at something else. We come to the barley, the corn, the wheat. To be able to have flour or meal or anything to make bread from it, you have to what to it? Crush it. It's got to be ground. Right? Now, all three of these are representative of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Because it was the life of Jesus that was crushed. And God's saying, just like those things, you've got to have the wine, the corn, and the oil to sustain your life. You've got to have it. You've got to have something to drink, do you not? You've got to have something to eat. Amen. And so you see that. And if you're going to be happy, you've got to have some joy. And you've got to have the Spirit of God as the type of it. In other words, He's wanting us to have an abundant life looking at those things. Now, when we get to the bread, you've got to crush that. And it's actually in the Word of God, and I believe it's the 6th chapter of the book of John. It's called the bread of life. That's the bread of heaven. Jesus is that bread, is He not? And it still represents His crushed life. Now, what does the bread represent? Well, there you go. That's what I'm looking for. The Word of God. You've got to have them three things spiritually. You got it? You've got to have the Holy Spirit. There's no salvation outside the blood of Jesus Christ. Am I right or wrong? Amen. There's no salvation outside the blood of Christ. There's no salvation outside the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. He that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of His. Then you cannot have any salvation outside the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, these are the three things that you've got to have to sustain, spiritual life. Amen. And that's why He makes an issue of these. A lot of time we overlook that, but it's there, is it not? So we're seeing it. Now let's slide back up there to verse number 23. And I want to look at another application to put in verse number 23. I thought we were going to get a little bit further down. It said, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for He hath given you the former rain." In other words, the first rain. He said, what? He hath given you the former rain. God said, I've already given you the former rain. In other words, I've given you the first rain. And then He says, moderately. God said, I've given you enough. I've given you all that you need. Now, I believe He's speaking to them right here in this verse in a spiritual manner. Israel's being spoken to because, remember, this is a prophetic book. We're not out of that. And so He said here, He said moderately, and He will cause. He's done said He hath given. Now He said, and He will cause to come down for you the rain. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. God said, I'm going to cause you to... And I believe He's speaking about spiritual things here. What's happened? God has already seasoned Israel. She's like seed put in the ground. She sprouted forth. She started growing. She started doing. Because she failed God, walked away from God, guess what happened? She went into captivity. She got dispersed. She got scattered. God said, I'm going to do that to you if you walk away from Me. We've got the promises over and over and over. Not just where I read this morning out of Deuteronomy, but all over the Word. God said, I'll scatter you. He dispersed them. They fell into captivity. The Babylonian captivity we've been talking about in Daniel. They fell into that. And the world has been a reproach to them. They've become slaves. They've enslaved themselves. Because what did they say? Away with Him! Away with Him! Give us Barabbas! Crucify Him! Crucify Him! Let His blood be on us and our children. And that's what happened. And Israel now is on the sideline while the church is on the main. And God is working it through the day of grace. Call out His bride. Call out His church. And thank God that we're part of that. Amen. I'm glad of that. And one of these days that will be through. And what's going to happen is God will work with the Jew again after the church is raptured out and taken out of here. Then we know for a fact that God will seal the seal of God in the foreheads of those 144,000 Jews, and they're going through the world to preach the gospel of the kingdom and to hasten on the second coming of the Lord. Amen. And we know that's the prophetic means of the Scriptures, and that's how we're going to see that. But what's going to happen in the meantime? God said, I've done give you the former rain. I've got you established. But what's happened is you ain't had that latter rain that's going to come and going to make you a blessing and make you a help and get you out of the mess that you're in. Because He's saying here in verse number 24, look at it now. And the floors shall be full of wheat. Now He's talking about the garners, the barns, the places they've got. He said the floors. Now He's talking to them about a physical thing here to get them to understand the spiritual. And the floors shall be full of what? Wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. There they are. I didn't tell you a while ago because of saving this. I knew it was in this verse. And what is those three things now? We talk about them. They're the necessities. God said, I'm going to give you everything that you need. Amen. Israel don't have everything she needs now, but she's going to get it. And God said, what I'm going to do is raise you up. Not only am I going to raise you up physically, and bless you materialistically, and He will, and make you a nation that's going to prosper. But on top of that, I'm going to bless you with spiritual touch. I'm going to give you that latter rain, and that latter rain is going to make you do things that you would never do before. And quickly, let's start with verse 25. And He said, and I will restore. What is it? I'm going to restore. What's restore? Means I'm going to make it back up to you. I'm going to bring it back. What you've lost, you're going to get again. God said, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. Now He's referring back to chapter 1 when the locust and the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm eat up everything that they had. And God said the devastation. And that was just a spiritual thing to let them know, hey, this is what you've done spiritually. You've lost out. You see, if you don't look at this book as a prophecy, you're going to miss the whole thing that Joel's trying to convey over to you and me. And He's saying here, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to bring you back to the place where I wanted you to be at to start with. Amen. And I believe it's going to be left up to Israel again, and I believe she's going to see. Amen. I said that before, I believe, when we was talking about the repentance. When they start saying, hey, you're going to have to worship this image, you're going to have to take this mark, I believe them Jews' eyes are going to open. They're going to say, this cannot be. This is against the Word of God, and they're not going to take any mark in their body, and they're going to recognize that this is the Antichrist and not the Christ. And that's when they're going to open their eyes and see this thing, and God's going to turn it around, and I believe that's when this, verses number 14, you remember I said after the repentance? I believe that in the middle of tribulation somewhere, they're going to catch this. They're going to see and get a hold of it and find out that God's going to do it. And I won't say this because we'll get into it next week. Verse 26 and verse 27 is talking about then the world's going to see that you're in the midst of me. Not only is the world going to see it, but they're going to see it. Israel don't know that God's in the midst. They're making decisions today sometimes that are in favor of the Word of God, but they do not know that they're in favor of the Word of God. They're making decisions today in Israel that applies, and they're doing things right down the line. If you study it and look at it, and if you kept up with their daily activities in Israel, you would find out that they're doing things that's just right in line and accordance to the Word of God, but they don't know it. They don't know it. Because the fact is, they don't accept the New Testament. And they take the Old Testament, and they've heard about the Messiah, they've heard about Jehovah God, they know that. They believe in God. They believe in God. They don't believe in a false God. They believe in the Jehovah God. That's what the Jews believe. They just don't know how to grasp it. But and the reason they don't is because, and this is what gets you on the bad terms of God, the Father. When you trample His Son under your feet, you're on the bad side of God. And that's why Israel's where she's at today. She don't recognize the Son of God yet. She don't recognize Jesus yet. That's why they go the Western Wailing Wall, pray every day for the Messiah to come. He's already come. Right? They didn't recognize Him. And they said, away with Him. But one of these days they're going to recognize what they've done. And they'll repent. And I believe that's when God's going to restore. Repentance don't bring restoration until repentance is put into action. But restoration will come after repentance. Amen. My time's got me. And we'll stay there. I hope we haven't confused you about the early rain, the latter rain. Hope we said a little bit enough to make you understand and see what it's all about. And then we'll get a little further into this book of Joel next week, God willing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the lesson. We thank you for the Word of God. We pray that you might strengthen, encourage, have your will in your way in everything that's done today. Every song we sing, every prayer we pray, that you might get the glory, the honor, the praise. May your name be magnified and glorified. And we'll thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.